You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Evenings here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia and across the world. I'm Josh Parrish alongside Nick Debano and Athos Syrianos this fine Friday evening. And on the line, we have Optusport executive producer Richard Bayliss here to help us preview this English Premier League season that kicks off tomorrow morning. Friday night football over in England, Saturday morning football here in Australia. It's Manchester United against Leicester to kick us off, and it's an exciting time for all football fans, Richard.
Oh, hello, guys. It feels like Christmas Eve with the Premier League season so close. There's not much off-season in football these days, and thank God for that because the Premier League's away for too long as it is, so can't wait for it to get underway.
100% agree, Richard. I can take or leave these International Champions Cup friendlies. Give me some competitive fixtures ASAP. But of the transfer dealings that have been done in the off-season, who is the new player in the Premier League that you're most excited to see in action?
Well, it's a tough one. I think a couple of clubs have done really well. I thought Liverpool have done well and did it early as well, their business. Whereas Everton across Stanley Park, just up the way, they did all their business at the end. In terms of one player, I think Everton signing Yerry Mina last night was pretty massive. He's pretty massive himself, Colombian centre-half that did really well at the World Cup. Hard to say a centre-half is the most exciting signing made, but he scored three awesome headers at the World Cup, was really good alongside Davinson Sanchez. Because I think the defensive signings are actually probably the ones that sort of stand out. You look at a couple of new keepers in the league, at Arsenal, there's one at Chelsea and one at Liverpool, big money spent as well on the defence. As to whether or not we'll get another signing like we saw Mo Salah last year come in and score 30 goals straight up in the Premier League, I'm not so sure. I think a lot of clubs have maybe been a little bit more cautious and signed defensive players, midfield players. And I think Everton and Liverpool are probably two clubs that have done really well.
Richard, obviously Tottenham weren't very active at the transfer window this time around. I believe the first team ever in Premier League history not to sign a single player. Can you see them really just plateauing, going down, or even contending with the squad that they have?
In a weird way, I can still see them contending. I mean, they've got a good squad. They've got a nucleus of a squad there that's young and hungry and seems to have bought into the project under Pochettino. The question for them, though, is the pressure on them from the fans because, you know, they've been close for now three seasons, or close-ish, if you like, and they still haven't won anything. I mean, I think they've got a couple of guys in there that didn't necessarily do much. I'm thinking of your Lucas Moura's, for example, that have had a pretty good preseason that might come across as like a new signing. And then they move into a new stadium and maybe that gives them a kick along. I can still see them in the top four, but you have to question the desire for them to go and win the league or where they're at in not making any signings, which it's one thing to actually improve the squad, but it's another thing entirely to bring that competitive edge into the playing group, which is why Manchester City pretty much have made a couple of signings. It feels like just to freshen things up, not necessarily to improve the squad. So if you're a Tottenham fan, you'd be fairly frustrated, but you still have a good squad there for sure.
It certainly split the football world in half, with many feeling quite ambivalent in relation to that issue. But aside, on the opposite side of the spectrum, in Wolverhampton, courtesy of their Portuguese super agent Jorge Mendes, they have to have a statue out of him out in the Midlands. recruited the likes of some remarkable players, Rui Patricio, Jean Moutinho. They just signed a Adama Traore today for £20 million. Richard, do you see them contending to finish on the better side of the table?
I do, Athos. I think they'll be in the top 10 there for sure. I think, what they did in the Championship last year, they kind of switched off towards the end because it was so easy for them under Nuno Espirito Santo, who's clearly a very good manager. But with those players that you mentioned at his disposal, attacking players as well, they play a good brand of football. It'll be good to watch. And if they click the way they did last season, I think they are a really good chance of being in the top 10. I can't actually remember the last time that a club came up with such good recent pedigree and such a good playing squad. I just can't. We were trying to work it out today in the Optus Sport office, actually trying to think of a club that came up with such good credentials. But I think they're light years ahead of where Fulham and particularly Cardiff are going in terms of preparation because of the super agent in Mendes that you mentioned. You know, the ends certainly justify the means, and it was controversial how they came up in the eyes of many. But no, I think in terms of football, they'll be really good to watch.
Absolutely. I can't wait to watch Wolverhampton in action. How about Fulham? You mentioned them there. They've signed pretty much a whole new team. I believe 11 new transfers coming in at Craven Cottage. Will they contend? Will these new signings propel them into the top half of the table? Or is it just too much change? Is it too much inconsistency and not enough consolidation?
Yeah, it's a really good question because, you know, you look at the difference in the Championship and the Premier League, you have to invest, you have to bring in new players if you want to stay in the league. I think the most important signing that Fulham have made was a guy that was there last season in Alexander Mitrovic, who, you know, had such a good year for them. I mean, he didn't really set the world alight at all at Newcastle, and it was always obvious that he was more suited to the football played under Fulham because Fulham, again, like Wolves, played a good brand and have a good progressive manager as well. So, you know, in that sense, you know, retaining him, I think, has been a big thing for Fulham. They've also signed creative players. So if they can hit the ground running, because we know that clubs that come up in particular, if they don't start well, the pressure really starts to build and that anxiety builds around a place like Craven Cottage. You can see it happening. But I feel as though they're in a good position where we're actually sending Mark Schwarzer there this weekend to sort of film the return of Fulham back to the Premier League at Craven Cottage, you know, interact with the fans and tell a story behind the scenes of a club that's been away for a little while. And of course, he's a club legend there as well. Very much looking forward to seeing a London derby there at Craven Cottage with Crystal Palace coming up the road.
Richard, who are going to be the strugglers this year? Who's going to be the ones battling for relegation? Obviously, Southampton survived by the skin of their teeth last season. A few of the other promoted sides, like Cardiff and also Fulham, will probably be down there battling. And even Huddersfield this season might suffer from some second-year blues. But who can you see being the sides that are going to really struggle?
Yeah, I think the first side you mentioned there, Nick, in Southampton, they're the ones that, I mean, Mark Hughes was very fortunate to keep them up because they were horrible under him when he came in there towards the end of the season. And they haven't, I know they've got Danny Ings on deadline day, but they don't really appear like they're a club that's moving forward at the moment. And I think they're really going to struggle. I think Cardiff is another one under Neil Warnock. You know, Neil Warnock's a specialist in getting sides up, but keeping them up is something different entirely. And I'll give you the tip. Don't expect a great deal of them football-wise because, you know, having watched the Championship a lot last season, my club's unfortunately in there and will be forever. But sort of seeing the way they play, it's not the most attractive. And I think, you know, they could struggle in the Premier League. And so too, I think Huddersfield, if I was to predict three, I think Huddersfield are one that, you know, they've recruited relatively well, certainly in terms of numbers. So they've made a lot of signings, but it's second-year syndrome is something that happens to a lot of clubs that come up, and they will be right down there in the mire. But if it's anything like last season, you know, if you remember, guys, it was like 10 or 12 clubs throughout that looked like relegation fodder. And, you know, there will always be a club or two that shouldn't be down there that'll probably be deep in the mix as well. Maybe a Watford, for an example. So, yeah, the relegation scrap arguably will be much tighter than that at the top.
And, Richard, what do you make of Newcastle? They made quite an impulsive acquisition signing Federico Fernandes on the final day, and of course Rafa Benitez came out and made some quite some scathing comments in relation to not being allowed to spend. What do you make of Newcastle and of Benitez's comments?
Yeah, I think it's now three or four windows in a row where Benitez has been left really frustrated by a lack of investment from Mike Ashley or a lack of support. And, you know, you mentioned they're making a signing on deadline day might appease him somewhat, but otherwise they haven't really made the signings that would excite any fan base, let alone one that, you know, for a club so big. I mean, Newcastle are enormous fan base-wise, in Australia, let alone, of course, in the UK. We know a lot of the people out here support them and love what they do, but it's such an interesting time to be a Newcastle fan because they have all these ingredients to be a massive club and compete, yet they just won't while ever their owner is not spending money. Their players went on strike and refused to do the broadcast headshots, the photos that the broadcasters want the players to do because they weren't getting paid their bonus. How on earth do you start a season, particularly against a Tottenham side that will expect a lot in the first game tomorrow night? I mean, if they can get 3 points there, it will be remarkable. Maybe that will sweep aside any of the issues, but you just get the sense that, you know, there's big problems at Newcastle if they start poorly.
Richard, also Arsenal and Chelsea, two of the big heavyweights last year, had tough seasons, but new managers in Unai Emery and Maurizio Sarri coming in. How can you see both teams going this season? Can you expect them to both be in and among the positions for the Champions League?
I would think so. I'm pretty excited, actually, to watch both of them, particularly Arsenal. How weird is it going to be to see someone else on the touchline, you know, after 22 years of Wenger? It'll be interesting to see just how well both those sides start. I mean, Chelsea were pretty hot and cold, I thought, in pre-season, having watched the majority of their football. And Arsenal, on the other hand, I think they've recruited well, and it feels as though, you know, under a new manager, that it's a longer-term project. So the question is how desperate are Arsenal fans to win the title straight away under Emery? I mean, surely they can't expect things to click from day one, but they have recruited really well. They've got a huge task as well at home to Manchester City in their first game. So, you know, a little bit like Newcastle, if you can win a game that you're probably not expected to win on day one, it can go a long way to giving you a lot of confidence. But I think Arsenal have done well. Chelsea, yeah, they'll always be there around the top four for sure. It'd be surprising if they didn't fight, although in my predictions, I haven't got either of them in the top four. So, so much for that.
What about Manchester United, Richard? Mourinho has been grumpy all pre-season. He seems to be occupying that self-destructive place that we've seen him in before. Could this be a repeat of the famous Chelsea season where he was sacked by Christmas?
Yeah, surely. I mean, that's a really good possibility, given the fact that not only is he grumpy, but clearly there are issues with some of his playing squad. He doesn't get on with Pogba. We know the Luke Shaw dramas for the last couple of seasons. You know, there is dissension in the ranks at Manchester United that goes beyond just the Mourinho antics in a press conference where, you know, sometimes you think, is he just trying to deflect attention from his squad, maybe take the pressure off, maybe focus on different things? But, you know, the way he's carried on the last couple of weeks can't be confidence-inspiring for anybody in that squad. You know, he tried, you know, his hardest to get a central defender in on the last day of the transfer window, couldn't do it. His list was about 12 deep and could not sign one single player. So the frustration from board level to Mourinho, then down to the playing group, that will be palpable, particularly if they can't beat Leicester in the opening game, 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, Eastern time. But, you know, you just kind of feel like they're not really at the top echelon where Manchester City and now probably Liverpool are as well. So while they'll always be in the fight, you'd imagine, for European football, if they go anything beyond that, would be an absolute shock the way their pre-season's gone.
Yeah, Manchester United don't tend to lose the opening game of the season, and it would certainly send alarm bells if they did tomorrow morning. Richard, before we let you go, one of the other big winners in the transfer window was West Ham, who signed 10 players and made a few handy acquisitions on the last day of the transfer window. We've seen West Ham spend quite a bit previously, but the players probably haven't reflected the hope that the owners and the manager would have liked. Where do you see them this season?
Well, they've certainly made a statement, haven't they, with Pellegrini in there, of course, a Premier League winning manager from his days at Manchester City. And you go back to last season and the scenes you saw at London Stadium, the dissension among the fans over the owners was something to behold. And it's, you know, the turnaround for them to stay in the league was probably an achievement during that season. But I think, you know, it goes back to the original question or the original talking point around, is too many changes too much? Like we talked about Fulham, you know, have they made too many changes? It'll take a little bit of time potentially for a West Ham to really find an identity and a style of football under Pellegrini as well, despite the fact that he has that degree. So you'd think, based on everything on paper with West Ham, they should be a mid-table side at least. I mean, they went into that new stadium hoping to be, you know, fighting for European football, and that certainly hasn't worked out. So you'd think it's probably more likely that they would be in the bottom half of the table, but there'll be no excuses having signed 10 quality players with Pellegrini at the helm.
Richard, thank you so much for joining us here on Evenings on FNR. Thank you for indulging Athos's West Ham fandom at the end there too. And we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Good on you, boys. Take care. Enjoy the opening weekend.
Richard Bayliss, the Optus executive producer there at Optus Sport. And remember, you can watch all of the 2018-19 Premier League season live on Optus Sport, as well as the highlights of every match, on-demand matches and live previews and reviews of all the big matches. Optus continues to provide Optus Sport to all Australians at no cost until the 31st of August, and you can download the Optus Sport app for complete coverage of the Premier League.